You know something? You hear it everywhere you go. You know, that group over there, they're all alike. It doesn't matter what their color is. It doesn't matter what age they are. In the eyes of some people, you know, they're all alike, eh? They're all alike. They do the same things. I don't know. Is that fair? Do we judge people by what color their skin is? Well, obviously, that's the way it used to be. It's not like that all the time now. I mean, God made us the way He made us. You know, what's the use of saying, well, I don't want to go there with him, or I don't want to go there with her, because I don't feel right. We're not the same. Well, how do you know? Have you talked? Have you explored your likes and dislikes? Or do you just go by one's looks? The big question is, what's the difference? Well, there is a difference, but not in like me and you or them over there or those up there or those down there. I mean, aside from looking different on the outside, inside, we all bear a conscience of some sort. Some's good, some's bad, some's in between, everywhere and everywhere. But you know, there is a difference when it comes to the Word of God. When it comes to God, when it comes to Jesus Christ, there is a difference. That's what this message is all about today. The difference. The difference. Now, we're not going to pick on colors and tall and short and that sort of thing. No. We're going to talk about what the Bible says. What the Word of God has to say. Okay? Now, the question is, what's the difference? The name of the message. The difference. Are you ready? Okay. Let's go into it. Let's go into it. Might as well get it over with. You really need your thinking caps on for this one. Oh. I have been a born-again Christian for over half my life. I would like to say that I have been a born-again Christian all of my life. But I can't. No, can't. No, nor can anyone else. You can't say, well, Mom and Dad's a Christian, so I got to be a Christian now. No, 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 no. No, you can't be something if you don't know what it is. Your Mom and Dad might say, that's my little boy, he's a fisherman. And he never had a rod or a hook, never caught a fish in his life. That's my little boy, yeah. Well, that's different. But when we're talking about spiritual things, when we're talking about the things of God, it's a whole different scenario. You understand? Like I said, I've been born again over half my life. I would have loved to have been a Christian right from birth. I would have saved myself a lot of agony, I'll tell you that. Now, I personally have a problem. You ready? I personally have a problem with the term born again Christian. Born again Christian. Now, okay, hold on now. Why? Let me tell you why. Well, for one thing, the terminology is way out in left field. Way out there. To be a born again Christian literally implies that you were either born a Christian at one time and then fell away and then became a reborn again Christian. Or you became a Christian at some time in your life but lost your faith and then changed your mind and became reborn. Are you following me? The term backsliding does not preface a born-again Christian. I'm a backslidden, born-again Christian. No, you ain't. You must be a Christian to backslide. Do you get that? In spiritual things we're talking about, you must be a Christian in order to backslide in Christian values. You must be. Are backsliding and falling away from the faith one and the same? Of course. Of course, I'll give you that. But many of us at one time in our lives become weak, weak in the knees, and fall away. Really, it's weak in the heart and fall away. Go back into the world that they loved so much, and now they feel either they don't want to be in the same room with Christians, they want to go out there and enjoy themselves with the world. Okay? Now, these are people who supposedly were Christians, right? It's important to note here that falling away and out and out denying the faith are not the same. You got that? Falling away and out faith are they're not the same. Even we who profess to be stalwart in our faith, well, we'll sometimes or other fall away. We will. But not for long. And not to the point where we are irretrievable. Irretrievable. Now, why is this? Well, because the foundation of our faith is given of God. Comes from God. And God knows the heart of man. And now, when I say man, I mean women too. God knows our heart. Okay, now, if we look in Hebrews 6, I want to go to Hebrews 6. I just want to read you a short passage here. Hebrews 6, 4 to 6, okay? Okay. Now, listen carefully. For, this is the word of God, it's out of the King James Authorized 1611 Bible. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Have you got that? Well, you can read it. It's in Hebrews 6, verses 4 to 6. You can read it for yourself. Study it. Know it. It's true. Okay? Our prayer life, you know, well, sometimes it can be a bit erratic. I think we must agree with that. Sometimes we pray a lot, sometimes we pray a little, sometimes we may not pray at all, and sometimes we struggle to pray. You see, it's impossible, though, for those who were once enlightened. 'Tis true that many believers in Christ tend to fall away. I don't mean go away, I mean fall away, however mildly, but not out of reach of God's extended arm. God holds fast to that which is His. He knows your heart. He knows you will stumble. He knows you will fall. He knows that, but He's there for you. Remember, the flesh is your worst enemy. It can be weak. But the Holy Spirit, well, now there's the holding power right there. The Holy Spirit of God strengthening us. My reference throughout is based on this very holding power. You know, there is a time in the life of many Christians when the flesh becomes their worst enemy. Their worst enemy. Oh, yeah. And if we're not strong in the faith, in a prayer life, we can suddenly be swept off our spiritual soapbox, so to speak. I believe that the hardest thing in the world is to repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ while your life is in total chaos. Your marriage, your job, your family, your health can all be spiritual stumbling blocks. Spiritual stumbling block. Proverbs 14:14 tells us that the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, not the ways of God. His own ways. Our overburdened God tells us the backslider in heart shall be filled, again I say it, with his own ways. Now, in reading the Old Testament, we can see that God directed most of his rage to his chosen Israel. Surveys from today's evangelical churches will clearly indicate that only a small percentage of would-be Christians hold fast to the faith once given unto the saints. Only a small percent. We don't think about that too much, do we? No, we think about ourselves. Am I a good Christian? Well, do I go to church when the doors are open? Or do I take the odd church service time off because, I don't feel like it today? Or, it's raining. I don't think I'll go. My friends don't all go every Sunday. Well, like I just said, there's only a small percentage of would-be Christians that hold fast to the faith once given unto the saints. You might be one of them. It doesn't mean you're lost. You know, a lot of people drift away. It doesn't mean they're lost. It's what they do after they've drifted away. You see, the Holy Spirit of God indwells every born-again believer. You know, you might be having a miserable time along the way, but God doesn't promise a smooth road. No. You might look at your life and overall assessment and say, my life's a pit, and I'm supposed to be a Christian. Don't fret. You know, I have an old backup saying that I always cleave to when things aren't going the way I want them to. Or I want a little more blessing going in that direction instead of my own. I love the little children of the world. It breaks my heart. I can't even watch it anymore when I see them on some of the television shows where they're just lying there in a hut with a muddy floor, and their little bellies are swollen and their eyes are bulged out. Oh, it just breaks my heart to see that. You know, I mean, I don't live high on the hog, but I live a lot higher than they do. They don't have a lot of clean water to drink. They don't have enough food to eat. The little bones are showing through the rib cage. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. You know, I feel very blessed. I live in a two-room basement apartment. A two-room. And I'm working. And I'm 77. And my wife and I are contented Christians. We believe in the Lord. We could move. We could move to a high-rise. But there'd be a lot more hungry children if we did. And I'm not boasting of anything. I do know. I don't mean that way. But I'm saying, persecution is something that we all have to contend with if we're going to work for the Lord. God didn't promise us smooth sailing each and everywhere we went, along the highways and the byways and wherever. No. All He promised us was heaven. And that's enough for me. Things aren't too cozy down here on the earth right now, as you may have gathered, as I explained earlier at the outset of this message, which what's going on in the political arena. The enemy's on our doorstep. Oh, well, they used to be, pardon me, I got that wrong. They're now in our homes. Did you know that they're actually evicting our fighting men from their homes? And given those homes to people who hate God. Hate Him. So what's that tell you? That means that the government who's doing this hates God too. It's a vicious circle. Christians are being denied their rights in their own home country in order to allow so-called potential enemies who are Christ rejectors who would just as soon rape your child or go into your church and slaughter everybody. Now these might be cruel words, but they're happening right now. I'm just so happy that I'm not in that perspective right now. That when I was a kid, yes, we were bad. We did wrong, stupid things, but we never did the things they do today. Oh, my, it's so terrible. We need God. Whether we realize it or not, we need God. And you know, Some of today's evangelical churches, which indicate that only a small percentage would be Christians or would be Christians, hold fast to the faith once given unto the saints. The key words here are would be Christians. They don't know if they're Christians or not. You can go down up and down the street. You can witness to everybody you meet along the way. Shake their hand, give them a couple of dollars for something to eat or drink, and walk away feeling good. I witnessed to that person. Well, that's good. We're supposed to do that. Yes. We're not supposed to go and judge them. We're supposed to go down and give them the Word of God. And if you can, a little on the side to feed them. It's only common sense. Isn't it? It's being loving. It's showing the loving of God, of Jesus Christ. Look what He did for us. You know, when I was a child, I'd do anything to get 10 cents. I'm giving away my age. I already have anyway. I'd do anything to get 10 cents to see the new Roy Rogers movie in town. Roy Rogers, if you don't know, was the king of the Cowboys. You know what kind of cowboys they were back in the old days, eh? In them days, well, I guess you could say I was what you call a goody two-shoes when I knew Roy Rogers was coming to town. Oh, yeah. Wow. them days, oh, gone are the days when families did pray and stay together, I'll tell you. I mean, I see people go have a quickie prayer over a meal. That just kind of evaporates before it even gets inside your heart. Thank you, Lord, for this food we are about to eat. Please bless it to our body. In Jesus' name, amen, and dig in. What do you mean? Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Please, Lord. You give unto me much more than I need. Please, Lord, seed to the little children. Seed to the downtrodden. Seed to the lonely, the sick, and the hungry and the homeless. Please, Lord, thank you for what we have. We are truly privileged in Jesus' name. You know, in Matthew 7:21 and 23, we read, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." No. Verse 23 says, "And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you." You see, when Jesus gathers his sheep, us, he knows all of our names. He does. Tell me, is your name written in God's book of life? Huh? You say, well, nobody knows that until we see the books. Oh, really? Well, the Bible says, "Repent ye and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." So if your name, if you have any doubt whether your name is written down in the book of life, cast the doubt away. Because it is, if you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ in your heart. Now, there was an old saying making its rounds when I was a child. An old, old saying. I know I'm going to heaven. I know. I didn't kill anybody. Nope. So, you know, that's about the worst sin you can commit. Kill somebody. I know I'm going to heaven. I may not be like a Christian, but I am a Christian. My parents told me so. I mean, I'm not somebody else. I'm not a Jew. I'm a Christian. I know that as long as I am in this body, this flesh, I will sin. I will. But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Have you got that? How's that for protection? Insurance protection. Oh, yeah. So you believe that regardless of how you live your life, you're still going to heaven, right? Right, people? Now listen carefully. I believe, I always have, that once saved, always saved. Once saved, always saved. Now, that's not the issue. The issue is, are you saved to begin with? The once saved, are you there? Have you done that? Is that true? Is it you? Are you saved to begin with? Just because you believe in the 11th commandment, which is not God's commandment at all, thou shalt enjoy life to the fullest, that's not a commandment. A guy once told me, yeah, that's it, you know, that's it. God wants us to live it up. Live it up, he says, and be happy. Be happy. And he does. He wants us to be happy, yes. living it up, I give that a little more thought. But be happy with Him in His kingdom for all eternity, which is the opposite of going to hell and burning for all eternity. You know, the real tragedy about thinking that you're going to heaven, when in fact you are not, is that many of your friends have the same opinion. You've heard the expression, birds of a feather. They really do flock together. So how can you be sure? How can we be sure we have repented and believed? By our own words? By the words of others? I know he's a Christian. I know his family. They're all Christians. Neither will suffice for God. Ye shall know them by their what? Fruits. Fruits. Now the question arises, what fruits are you talking about? Well, if you look in Philippians 1, 10 and 11, and in Matthew, what they say and what they do, know them by their fruits? Oh, yes. In other words, the true children of God will be known by what they say and what they do. Read Philippians 1, 10 and 11 and Matthew 7, 16. Now tell me, do you pray without ceasing? We're supposed to, the Bible says so. Do you do unto others as you would have them do unto you? Or label them at face value? Do you attend church regularly or only on Sunday? Only on Sunday. And special occasions when there's something special going on. Big food. Big meal. Do you suffer persecution at home and at work? Do you share the fruits of your blessings? Do you share with those in need, physically and monetarily, spiritually most of all? We could go on and on, but remember, God looks upon the heart. The heart. And that, my friends, is the difference. Have you got that? That's the difference. I want to thank you for listening, and I pray that if your life is in great disarray because you're not sure whether you're going to heaven or not, or things aren't going according to God's perfect will in your life, you better check it out. Okay. God bless. Amen.